The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. I apologize for not being able to be on these last couple of days, but we got to work every now and then around here. But it's always a pleasure being with you here on the show where pit smarts meet street smarts. And got a good show for you today. Today and tomorrow I'll be on for you, just to give you an idea. Next week we'll do a couple of shows. I've got a bit of a traveling schedule I've got to work around. So until then, we'll try to fill you in as best as we can. And there are a lot of things that are going on, folks. Big miss in today's market. If you notice that ADP report, of course, that is that jobs number that comes out. It's the precursor to the Biggs jobs number that come out on Friday. And, of course, that came out a lot lower than people expected. Very interesting. In fact, it did take the wind out of the sails. But today, folks, was what I call an odd Wednesday. You know, if you notice, everything was down across the board. And when you see a situation like that, you really have to go back and reflect and try to understand why it's happening and, you know that there are times where the market has trouble. This is one of those times. You know, had I been on the last couple of days, I would have tried to remind you, especially with the rally that we saw yesterday, not to read too much into it because of what I have been telling you prior to this. That is that the Basel III Accord checks are taking place now as we speak. Institutions are going to start to basically get their fortress balance sheets up, as Jamie Dimon calls it. They do not want to be in a position where regulators come check on them and they find that they are undercapitalized or not sitting on enough cash, or worse yet, accounting for it the wrong way. All of which gives us at least reason to believe that a lot of these institutions, a lot of the larger ones, are trimming back positions. These are also the ones that incidentally did not roll those large, massive index positions in the last quarterly roll. And I said to you, something is up. If they are not rolling those positions, that means that they have to sit on that cash. But more importantly, it means that eventually, folks, they have to reinitiate those positions. Look, an index arbitrageur is no good unless, of course, they have the inventory to be able to do it with. All right, you can't do sell programs unless, of course, you have got the inventory. You can try. You can do them on a short sales basis. But then you've got to borrow the stock. You know what? It's very cumbersome. But, you know, the reality is that what we are looking at right now is a situation where you have got institutions that are building up their balance sheets. And it's not only the European institutions. You don't have to look across the borders. It is our own institutions that are doing it here too. And what are they selling? Everything. They're selling everything across the board. The S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the Russell. Really started, if you notice, with the Russell and the mid-cap yesterday. And gold. Why? Because these are the things that are liquid. These are the things on their balance sheet. And gold, by the way, has that ETF effect. I've told you many, many times, gold will get whipped up and down much more than it has been and much more than you would expect the normal market gyrations to take it up and down, primarily because of the ETF factor. You know, and just to give you those that are saying, Berugin, what are you talking about? A quick reminder, ETFs, folks, or exchange-traded funds, all right, were created basically to be able to trade a commodity in stock form, all right, in an equity form. They really came out when we started trading the S&P 500 futures and the NASDAQ futures, and what happened was that they came up with this great idea to be able to trade that entire market with one stock. So they came up with the SPDR. All that is the S&P depository receipt, thus SPDR, all right? And essentially, it's just grouping together the index. And what they do, folks, believe it or not, is use the S&P 500 futures index and create units. You know why? Because it's the cheapest and most efficient way to do it. So here's really what it comes down to, and I've been saying this from the day that the ETF was created, that it's a very inefficient way to play futures. It's as simple as that. So now, having said that to you and having given you the genesis of the entire ETF movement, now let's move on to ETFs around commodities. So whether it be oil or natural gas, or worse yet, gold. And why? Well, because now you end up with a situation where the commodity that you've been trading is being traded by people that don't know the nuances behind that commodity. In other words, you have got a bunch of very, very amateurish investors getting into a market with a bunch of sharks. You know, I've tried to explain that to people because, quite frankly, unless you've traded futures, unless you know futures, all right, you don't understand it. You don't get it. But the reality is that every time somebody goes in to buy an ETF, they give up an edge. And it's a huge edge. They give up an edge not only in the market itself, but in the fact that they've created this unit and there's tracking error involved, not to mention the fact that you don't get nearly the leverage that you do using futures. So again, I'm saying this to you because what you're finding is when you see liquidation trades, which is really what today is, it's a liquidation across the board. We got people that are raising cash. I get it. Don't read too much into it. Just like yesterday's rally, don't read too much into it. You know, I mean, I'm getting the bears out there. Now, it's funny how all it does, it takes a triple-digit break in the market, you know, to get the doomsdayers out again. You know, and even the diehard doomsdayers are scratching their heads these days because they don't know what's going on. I don't know if you saw Bill Gross talking about it. He just came out with a man in the mirror. He's been seriously contemplating, looking in the mirror. Well, you know what? It doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to write a book to tell me that he's been dead wrong about the equity markets. You know, and don't look at his performance, folks. All right? And I'll tell you why. Because it's not performance that I look at. It's when somebody goes out there and tells the world not to be invested in something, all right? And that market goes against them. I don't care if they were taking the other side of that trade. If they made money on it, then you know what? Shame on them for giving misinformation. Shame on them, all right, for telling me that they're making money in an environment where they're telling other people to get out of. Because that's exactly what some of these people have done. You know, Nassim Taleb, another great example. You know, here's a guy who could not trade his way out of a paper bag on the floor of the exchange. Blew out twice. He's out there and has kept more people out of this market. And now, you know what he's saying? Oh, I've got to hold my nose and reluctantly buy stock. BS! Baloney. You know what? That is such hogwash to me. And to see people like that on television every now and then, and again, when we see a triple-digit move, they come out of the woodwork, right? Think about it. You've got more negativity out there in a market that is making all-time highs than ever before in history. How about that? Doesn't that make you bullish? I know it does me. The fact is that you have got a couple of bad numbers that took the wind out of the sails of the market. Well, big deal. You have been going straight up for 3 or 4 months, folks. You had a 10% first quarter. Don't you think that it would be good to see them go down a little bit? I know I'd feel a lot better. You know, I see the S&Ps down a little bit. I see NASDAQ down 1%. I get a sigh of relief in me. Because I know that we're not getting the parabolic moves that I worry about. Because that is when I, as a big bull, start to get worried. So here we are in a situation where you got a little negativity out there, all right? And guess what, folks? Use it. Use it as a buying opportunity and shove it in the face of the bears. Because every time I see a Mark Faber, Mr. Doom, Gloom, and Boom on television, it makes me want to throw up. All right? These idiots are out there and people are listening to them. Listen, folks. All right? Listen. If you are that bearish, bury your money in the backyard and leave. Build a bomb shelter. Because for you to do that is absolutely ridiculous. It is not an investment strategy. You want to do, if you're really worried about the market, put your money to work and buy protection. But when I hear these morons, absolute morons, go on television and tell people to be in cash, it's sickening. It's irresponsible. It's keeping people out of the market at the worst possible time. Folks, What they're going to do is take an entire generation of investors, leave them on the sidelines, and they will lose purchasing power parity, plain and simple. So all of that is what is taking place over the course of these next couple of days. You're going to see it, but I want you to understand what is happening. I want you to understand that the first 2 weeks of April are historically a time where people get out of positions. Why? Because they can and they have to pay taxes. You've got a tax bill due in another 2 weeks. How are you going to pay that tax bill? Guess what you do? You end up selling some stock. Never fails, folks. You know, you think that investors will probably prepare for it ahead of time. They don't. They don't. And on a year like this, where they've actually seen some profitability, remember last year was not a bad year, folks, for the market. So all of a sudden, you had people taking profits. Guess what? They've got capital gains. All of that is what's driving the market today. Now, the fact is that we have got some bad numbers that came out, and we need to address them. We'll talk a little bit about that. You know, the fact is you got a big unemployment number coming out on Friday. Yeah, we do. We do. You know, and the fact is that unless we continue to see strong numbers, there's going to be a shadow, I guess, cast over this marketplace. But, you know, I guess a lot of that has to do with how you perceive the numbers. You know, we're going to have Alan Rohrbach on in a little bit. And Alan was the one who will tell you all the time that you have to look at a series of numbers. You can't look at one number or two numbers, all right, and get a general feel. You have to look at a whole set of numbers to get an idea of what is happening. Job growth is exactly the same as that. Now, there are a couple of things that are concerning me, and I will tell you this, all right, especially with today's ADP number. I'm wondering if this whole Obamacare scare, which in many cases it is, because remember, Obamacare hasn't really hit home yet. What it's doing, though, in many ways, it is stifling employment. You know, look, I'm a small businessman, folks, and I will be the first to admit it. I do not want to hire more people if I've got to worry about health care issues in another year. So you're going to get as much as you can out of the people that you have on your payroll now. You don't mind paying them a little extra. You know why? Because it's better than having somebody new. It's the way of the world right now. And unless some way we get to absorb Obamacare in a less threatening way to the small businessman, it will continue to stifle job creation. Now, look, I'm not saying it is the biggest killer of jobs. There are people out there that'll tell you that. They'll tell you that Obamacare is killing all the jobs. I don't believe that. All right. Obama is not killing the jobs. Obamacare is stifling job creation. You know, instead of creating three jobs, people will create two. Instead of, you know, going out there and opening up a manufacturing plant here in the States, they might think of opening one up someplace else because of all of the regulatory hurdles and hassles that this administration is making business go through. Look, you know what? Don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Listen to those that are spending their money. Listen to the people that have created jobs in this country. They're the ones that are expressing those concerns. When people have to lay back a significant amount of their workforce and it gets into the thousands, all right, you know what? They feel it. You know, not every CFO is heartless, folks, all right? Not every CEO is heartless, all right? These people know that there are 10,000 people that they're laying off. They feel it. Don't, it's not just a number to them. You know, people think it is. It's very easy to say that. But, you know, these people actually feel it. They do feel it. And I've talked to them. I've talked to people that were in tears because they had to let people go after the holidays. That's difficult, folks, all right? It's even more difficult if you're the one being let go. I get it. But the reality is that nobody likes doing that, all right? So, I mean, and if anything, I'll just flip it for you. It's just the opposite. You know what? People love creating the jobs. Nothing makes a businessman happier than to have to put out an ad saying that he needs more help. It tells that person and the entire world that their business is doing well. Well, think about that, folks. That's what the problem is right now. Is it that people don't want to tell you their business is doing well? No, we see the business is doing well. You can see the numbers coming out. I mean, corporate America is earning more than it's ever earned in history. So what's the problem? The problem is that there is this black cloud of regulation. It's hanging over the market and keeping us from fulfilling our true capitalist free market destiny. And it's as simple as that. Now, so aside from all the philosophy, folks, and yeah, you know, I'm going to go out there on that limb for you. There you go. But today's weakness, I don't want you to read too much into. All right. Today's weakness, folks, and any weakness that you get over the course of these next couple of weeks is an opportunity, because I've got a feeling the second half of April is going to be one of those moves that catches a lot of people napping. And then May is going to come, and then you're going to get all those sell in May and walk away people. And it's going to be one of those Mays that's going to surprise the living heck out of anybody that's not in the market. How about that for a prediction? This is the Jack B. Show. Don't go away. I got a lot more coming for you.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on a day where, you know, I was going to say on a day where the markets have been acting up, but they really aren't acting up if you think about it. They're doing exactly what they should do after the markets have done what they've done over the fourth quarter. All right? I mean, look, you know, you don't get parabolic moves that last all year. You need to see the market do this, what I call backing and filling, a little digesting of these moves, because that's very important for the health of the rally. Now, I want to move on from one market to another a little bit before Alan comes on, and that is talk a little bit about what's happening in the ags. Now, you know, you might say, hey, Barugin, look, I want to talk stocks, I want to talk bonds. Every now and then, we have to take a look at what's going on in these other markets, in the outlying markets, okay, as I like to call them. Big moves down in these grains. Now, corn, soybeans, corn especially, there was a large There was a report the other day. We saw the largest crop planted since the 30s here in the States. Now, remember, a lot of that has to do with the fact that corn, especially here in the Midwest, is considered an energy product. We make ethanol out of it, which to this very day I think is insane. Yeah, and I'm an Illinoisan saying that, folks, okay? You know what? Make it from sugar. You know what? Take the corn that you're going to make ethanol out of and send it overseas to people, you know, that can use it to make food, all right? But anyway, the soybean crop is also, going down, and soybean market's going down. And a lot of that is in sympathy. These grain markets, of course, move together. But one of the things that I did want to say to you is the fact that you're seeing an ancillary effect. And, of course, the feeder market, all right? And I'm talking about live cattle. So, you know, remember, the feed for live cattle is corn. So the feeders, which are your little feeder cattle, those are your little calves or whatever you want to call them before they turn into the big heads that you go out there and you butcher, they are going down in price because it's going to take a lot less to feed them. All right. So, you know, it's, again, something that I like to watch. Now, remember, that is, of course, going into the face of what were inflationary concerns just a little while ago, which have now flipped. You know, it's ironic, folks, you know, that the whole inflation deflation scenario seems to turn on a dime. It really does. You know, there are times where people are worried about inflation. You know, we had $100 oil, whenever it was, a few weeks back. We were talking about, and it still costs me a fortune to go fill up my gas tank. I don't know about you, you know, but, you know, and I'm driving no special car, folks, all right? I'm driving what you're driving, trust me. And I'm still paying $45 to $50 to fill up my tank. So it's ridiculous, all right? But, you know, the reality is that when you look back and you look at other factors that might give us a gauge of inflation, it's not inflation that's the concern. It's the disinflationary pressure that's right now at hand. You see it. You see it with a lot of these various commodities, and it needs to be kept in check. You know, copper right now is trading under $3.35. You and I know that copper, as you've heard me say many times, is one of the best barometers. It's a great gauge for the inflation deflation scenario. 350 copper for me, all right, is right where it should be to tell me that the market's healthy. Anything under 350 starts to warrant a little bit of concern. Under $3, you worry about this inflationary pressure. The flip side of that is over 350, you start to see the economy stimulating again. Over $4 for copper, you worry about inflation. So there is your inflation deflation scenario using one basic commodity. And that commodity being copper is really a great gauge, folks. And I would say all of you that are students of the market, pay attention to it. It's probably one of the best ways to be able to give you an idea of what the rest of the market is thinking. Remember, you know, you've got this two-tiered market. This institutional market, and then what I call the retail market. And the retail market, folks, is you and me. We're the retail market, all right? We're the ones that we watch CNBC every day, and I'm the one who gets mad at Faber, you know what I mean, and Mario Rabini, and you know, I'm sure there's somebody that's yelling whenever I'm on TV because they're always bearish and I'm out there bullish. Yeah, I get it. You know what? But the institutional business folks, all right, those that are running massive amounts of money are the ones that actually make the market move. See, that's one of the things that I'd like to, if nothing else, I'd like to explain to people, because too often, you know, you get this, oh, it's a rigged game. Oh, it's a rigged game. You know, I hear that. And if, you know what? I am so tired of hearing that. It's like me hearing Rick Santelli telling me that it's all because of the Fed. It's not because of the Fed. All right. The Fed isn't the reason why you've got all this money sitting in the hands of corporations overseas. All right. The Fed has got cheap money here. What the Fed is doing is it's making it very difficult to invest in bonds, thus putting money into stocks. But it's not like this multiple is up at 25. You know, we got a multiple at 15 or 16. I can handle that. You can get a Fed doing what? Look, the Federal Reserve right now is concerned with housing. They're concerned with job creation. But they are not filling up the institutional coffers with money. They are not the reason why you've got somebody like a Deere or BHP Billiton making 90% of their money overseas. No, folks. All right? It's not because the Fed is buying bonds. It's because these people are making money. So if the institutions are making money, then how is it that it's the Fed's, fault that the stocks are going up? And I hate when people say that, all right? The Fed's fault. The Fed's fault. Well, you know what? You're going to call it the Fed's fault? Fine. It's supposed to be the Fed's fault. It's their business to stabilize and take the volatility out of our banking system and out of our markets, out of our economy. That's what they're there for. So don't tell me that it's the Fed's fault that they're doing that. Guess what? Let's see what they do with their end game. And in a lot of cases, folks, the Fed's game, all right, as it were, is inflationary. Yet we see none of that evidence right now. None of it. I mean, I'm looking at gold falling out of bed. I keep telling you, I like it down under, down in the lower 15s, it's always good. High 14s. I was saying that to you before. I still stick with that. I think that anything under 15 and a quarter for gold is a great buy. That's where I'd be loading up a little bit. And yeah, when I buy gold, folks, I don't do it for a trade, just so you know. I do it for an investment. I sock it away. And I don't listen to Warren Buffett, who tells me that I'd rather buy, farmland. No, I like having those gold bars. You know what I mean? I like having those gold coins. And more importantly, who knows what's going to happen with these markets down the road? All right. I really don't know. Look, I'm as bullish as they come, folks. All right. But there is a part of me that's always been taught to make sure that you have a little bit of your wealth sitting in gold. All right. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be a gold bug to do that, but it's as simple as that. Now, the reality is that I hope I never have to worry about that. The reality is that I hope that gold goes sideways for the next 30 years. I know that's not going to be the case. I know that with the Fed doing what they're doing, that down the road, as they try to exit the strategy, it's going to be inflationary. I'll probably be looking at $2,500, $3,000 gold. Don't know when, but I think that it'll happen down the road. But on days like this where it's pulling back, the last 2 days, for example, if you've noticed the pullback, it's been hard. It's been fast. It's been vicious. Those are indicative of markets that are taking profit. And more importantly for me, they're indicative of markets that have ETFs associated with them. Remember, that exit door, folks, is so very tiny. The ETF market, especially for commodities, I equate to the Roach Motel. Very easy to get into, but you can't get out. It really is. In many ways, it is like that. But just getting back to today's action, the one thing that I do notice is the fact that the dollar has stabilized. It's stabilized against the euro currency. It's stabilized against the British pound. And when it stabilizes like that, you don't expect to see these types of moves, which leads me going back to what I said in the first segment. All of this seems to be revolving around tax season, revolving around the Basel III checks, revolving around the fact that these institutions need to be looking as pretty as they possibly can when they get that knock on the door by their regulators saying, by the way, can we take a look at your balance sheet, sir? All right. Of course, they'll say it with a Swiss accent or with an English accent. But either way, that's what they're going to say. And when they do, trust me, there is not one trading desk in the world that wants to be stuck saying we don't have enough cash on hand. It is the one thing, folks, that no boss will tolerate anywhere on any trading desk in any part of the world. All right, we're going to take a few minutes here, and then when we come back, as promised, folks, I've got Alan Rohr back in the studio. That is right. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of The Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Now, back to the Jack B. Show.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Jack B. Show. And just as promised, folks, we have got the prolific blogger, Alan Rohr, back. Of course, he is the founder of Rohr International. You can read him at Rohr-blog. In fact, I know you're doing a lot of stuff with the Bull and Bear guys, too, Alan. And, you know, it's always a pleasure. I know I didn't have you on.
Yes, I am. I'm doing stuff with them, and we're going to be having some. We're just adding new features to this product, Jack. We're going to have videos for people. Day-to-day basis, short-term trading is very challenging. It helps to have every instrument, every type of communication in front of people, we feel, that will help them understand not only when to trade, but, Jack, it's one of the big keys of really successful short-term market participation. When not to trade, when you let things develop.
Well, it's funny you say that because that was one of the rules of thumb that I used to have with all of my guys is, you know, here's the one that you have to learn is when not to put the trade on or when to walk out of the pit is what I used to say.
Right.
Alan, with a lot going on, I want to give you the mic here for the next 10 minutes or so because I've been dominating here for the last half hour. Sounds like you don't agree with me when we were talking about Rick Santelli. I was saying that earlier I said I'm tired of Rick saying that it's all the Fed. You're saying it is the Fed. And give me your take on that because you're entitled to your opinion even though I think you're wrong. And
okay.
No, but I'm kidding. Go ahead. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what your work is telling you with the markets these days?
Well, the first thing is, technically the market's still a bull, Jack. What have we said for quite a while? And it is that you must respect the degree to which the bulls had the market up through that key futures resistance, S&P 500 futures resistance, pardon me, at the 15.25 to 30 area. Came down a long way today, but what was the low? Right around 1547. And on a near-term view, where some trend lines, Fibonacci retracements, previous trading come in, it's going to be very interesting day tomorrow because this is where we're going to tie the fundamental back in because of the huge fundamental influences tomorrow that relate to central bank quantitative easing. But the support in that S&P future is about 1,545. That's a key level now. This side of that 1530 to 25. So in other words,
that's the big number, isn't it? And I know we had
30 to 25. It's just there.
And we had the mayor on last week, and he'll be on again tomorrow. And he was telling us he had that 1532 area. So you guys are all in the same general area,
right? But for if a market really is staying bullish very often, it never quite lets people in there. It's like we said last week when I was on Where was the support? Well, 1530 to 25. Where'd they get down to at the worst of the Cyprus crisis 3 weeks ago? 1532. They didn't quite get there, and they came back up pretty sharply. They didn't lay there and let people buy them. Well, we're in that another one of those secondary considerations now, Jack, where certain key supports, somewhat shorter-term supports, have moved up to 1,545, and that's going to be very important tomorrow. Because I know we always like to look ahead and say what's coming up, But it's not what's coming up. It's what's going to be here actually before midnight our time tonight or right around
there. Well, why don't you start going through it a little bit?
Well, it's Bank of Japan. What do we have at Bank of Japan? We have the new central bank governor, Kuroda. And Kuroda is Abenomics guy. He's Abe's guy who he promoted.
Is that why the Nikkei was up 3% last night?
I think that there is a big incentive to think that you're going to hear a lot about quantitative easing tomorrow from Japan. You're going to hear a supportive statement from Bank of England. But most importantly, then, after you have the early quantitative easing influence out of Japan, you're going to have the ECB interest rate announcement, which will be no change. Markets are doing well enough, and they
do. Do you anticipate any change in the wording at all?
Well, even more so, you have the full press conference, and he is going to be pressed on.
You're talking Draghi now.
Draghi. Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, is going to be pressed in that hour-long press conference. Folks, that starts at about 7:30 our time tomorrow, Thursday
morning. Chicago time in the morning, yep.
And that is going to be very interesting. He's going to be asked all about, what about the short-term fix that Cyprus worked out? What about the fact large depositors could be at risk in banks, even though no other country, admittedly, has the kind of mix in their banking system and general economy?
Now, hasn't he already said that Cyprus is a one-off, though, Alan? I mean, I think they've all, and one of the reasons the market seems to have recovered from that is because they've all said the same thing. Do not think of Cyprus as a template.
Well, just because all the other economies and banking systems have so much more of a capital base outside of the short-term flight capital that's in there. But most importantly, Jack, that's going to do something that's going to benefit the bulls. They're going to ask about it in terms of crisis, and what Mr. Draghi is likely to say is, even if any type of situation would develop, like developed in Cyprus, which was so unique, said the ECB would be there for most other countries because of the different nature of their banking system supporting their banks and their bond markets. So it's going to turn out to be something they're going to ask, typical of reporters, to try and ask about the crisis, and it's going to open the door for him to make some very constructive comments.
Are you saying that they're going to be picking and choosing which countries that they'll be able to bail out and which countries they won't?
I think mostly, except for Cyprus, they're ready to bail out pretty much
anybody. Pretty much everybody else, that makes sense.
That's the reason it was a tempest in a teacup, Jack. What was it? 0.2% of the European economy, so put that in a global perspective, and only because of the nature of the depositors there. So, you know, it's that Cyprus happened to be a country they wanted in the euro. The only other place something like that could happen is, like, you know, the Isle of Man or Malta. Well, they're not in the euro,
right?
So it wouldn't make a difference to anybody.
Let's go back a little bit. You know, you were saying with these numbers that came out today, they were disappointing. I said that earlier today. But you're saying that this has been a trend lately. Talk to us about that.
Well, late last week, the numbers were also below standard. It was very interesting that coming in off the Cyprus banks reopening on Thursday, which, of course, because of the Good Friday holiday, was the last trading day of the week in all of the Western trading centers, you know, Australia included, Canada included. So it was reasonable to say, oh, it's the last day before a three-day weekend. You could have some real turmoil if there's anything wrong with the Cyprus banks. And there was an interim resistance level, an important one in the S&P, around 1,558, which they've subsequently been up to as much as $10
above. Yeah, they've taken it out a couple of times.
They've been above and below it. This is where the market, it's like an eraser on a chalkboard. They're erasing it as a key level. They're saying, we can be above or below it, it doesn't matter. But the thing that's so interesting about it was, so Wednesday on early here, on the anticipation that the Cyprus bank situation might be a problem, we went all the way down to 1446 from right after the opening. We dropped about $10 on the opening. Spent all day Wednesday working our way higher. Ended up against 1,558. Early Thursday, Cyprus banks are open. Yes, there are lines outside. People are withdrawing money. S&P still bid up at 1558. I looked at it on Thursday and went, oh, this thing's going through.
Yeah, you could tell. But it was also, if you think about it, it was the end of the quarter, end of the month. I mean, it made sense to me
that.
And it's also, you know, it makes sense to me that the market's struggling at this time of the year. And you and I know, being old market veterans, that this is tax season. People are usually sellers of equities or whatever is liquid at this time because they need to be able to pay taxes in another 2 weeks.
Well, and you also, though, have the countervailing fresh dividends and other, you know, coupon yields from bonds, which may just go right back into bonds, but you have inflows at the beginning of the quarter as well.
Yep.
So when we get back, let's look at the specific data, how the market's acting, and what it might mean to viewing it forward from here.
I like it. Alan Rohrbach, folks. This is the Jack B Show. We're going to take a few minutes, come back, and then Alan's going to tell us a little bit about what's coming out here in the next few days.
The Jack B Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on the Jack B Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for this third day in April, folks. And, you know, I guess one of the things that I said earlier today, Alan, was that, you know, the numbers weren't coming out all that good. They weren't good today. But it takes a set of numbers before you can really make up your mind on that.
That's very true.
And, you know, if you don't mind, why don't you just talk a little bit about that, because I know that you were the one who taught me that. And then tell us a little bit about what's coming out these next few days, because I know that there are a few things that have caught your eye that are on your radar screen.
Well, what you said is exactly right, though, Jack. The point is that a bull market tends to shake off a certain degree of bad news, partially because of technical momentum. This time, it's seasonal flows, first week of April, first week of any new quarter. You tend to get money, that is, dividends get reinvested and all of that. And this market's been shaking off weak news since late last week, not the least of which was that big jump up in initial jobless claims, well, back above 350,000, and the Chicago Purchasing Managers coming in so weak. That was the prelude to the very weak ISM today. And
now, you think it has to do with Obamacare. I know you were saying that earlier. And
I think
what I was saying before you came on was I also think that there is something that has to. But I don't think Obamacare is killing jobs. It's just stifling the creation of jobs. That's kind of the way I put it. So
instead of
hiring three people, you're going to hire two because you don't want that extra head. You just can't afford or it's an unknown.
It's more so whether they're cutting back hours and not hiring some companies that aren't hiring at all because they're up near that 50-employee limit. If you have 48 employees right now, you're not hiring.
No, but you're making them work 12-hour days if you can.
Well, yeah, that's right. Or you're hiring extra part-time workers or full-time workers, and this is the double whammy that we have to keep an eye. I said this a while back, and I still believe it. The real crux of the matter, when it's all said and done, and what you can say with all the other data that comes out, forget it, watch retail sales.
Yeah.
If top-line turnover's there, companies are going to be able to generate profits. If retail sales start getting really shabby, where you might even come up with a minus in front of some certain months, maybe not right now, but 3 to 4 months down the road, it's going to show you that employees, and we've said this before, so I'll be very brief. People understand the implications. We're full-time employees now. Maybe they're making, living wage, $40,000, and they're being told we're cutting you back to 30 hours for the privilege of not having to offer you a group health plan. Well, now there's someone who just had their income cut substantially and is being told that now you can go source insurance privately instead of through the company. And it just, those are people who are saying, guess what? I'm eating hot dogs and beans and we ain't going to any movies.
Yeah, no, that's a good
point.
That's
the dilemma. But what's coming up along with the central bank focus tomorrow? It's the day of the central bankers tomorrow. Japan, England, and then most importantly, ECB.
Do they all three make announcements tomorrow?
All three, and which basically means overnight tonight in Japan.
Right.
It's, as a matter of fact, Japan, they never put a time on it, but generally midnight central time, 1 a.m. here, that'll be out. But as importantly, what we also, there's not much other data out tomorrow other than,
well, we have jobless claims. I know that.
And you have jobless claims. You have the one-day delayed, based on Easter Monday, one-day delayed services PMIs for Europe.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's important.
And especially looking at,
and by the way, before we even go there, jobless claims is expected to be right around that 350,000 level again.
Right.
But that'll be the over-under. So I'm sorry,
right.
Continue.
And then what we also have is all of these services PMIs in continental Europe that are below 50, except Germany, that came in 51.6 last time. But let's face it, as you've said, Jack, Germans are the one making money over there. They're running the game.
That's right.
Friday, in addition to, before we get to our employment number, very important with the focus on Europe and Asia right now, Japanese leading and coincident index, Eurozone retail sales, German factory orders.
We're going to see moves before we get in and get the move off of our unemployment number.
That's right. And then our unemployment number is very important because it was already scheduled to be back below 200. That was the estimate. They've been coming out above estimate, but this ADP number we saw today being down at 158, you might actually come in below 200.
We were looking for 200 on that number. Were you looking for 200 also?
190 to 2.
Yeah, that was the number we were looking for today, and the fact that we got it down at 158 was very disappointing.
Right.
How accurate has ADP been lately?
More accurate than previous. It's been above estimate.
Because I remember there was a while there, a couple years back, where they were way off. I mean,
it was like
Mars and Venus. I mean,
yeah.
Really.
But no, lately it's been more accurate. And lately, in front of our non-farm payrolls number, it's accurately come in above estimate on ADP. That's got everyone a little bit nervous about it coming in below estimate. I think that's part of the sell-off today. I think people are front-running. They're going, hey, if ADP is weak, anybody who is nervous money, why are we sticking around through central banks tomorrow to get to an employment number on Friday that is already potentially going to be weaker than expected and back below 200 when we can just get out now? People have some very good profits. I think it's profit-taking so far, and that gets us back to what we discussed at the beginning of the second segment when I first came on. 1,545 in the S&P. If it isn't going to close below 1,545 in the S&P future tomorrow, after the central banks are done, especially if it's rebounded nicely above it, you're back up to 1,555 or 60 area, you put a real burden of proof on the bears that it's going to have to be a pretty awful number Friday to put it below that.
Alan, do you expect any surprises out of these central banks tomorrow?
Aside
from maybe Abe and the Japanese doing something
dramatic? I
think
the market's anticipating. It's why the Nikkei was up into this week. I think it's anticipating maybe an acceleration of that Japanese anti-deflation program, which is a double negative for saying they want some inflation back. But what happened was, if you'll remember, Jack, it was a big announcement about a lot of new money they're going to print. But the old governors were more nervous about potential inflation. Well, now the Japanese government bonds are up to new all-time highs. I mean, the inflation prospects there are just about nil. And they weren't going to start. They said, oh, we're going to have this big spend. But they said, but we're going to keep it about as it is, our intervention in the market right now, as it is. We'll start the big spend in January of 2014. That was a nod to the old governor of the Bank of Japan. The one surprise, less than huge surprise, but the one thing that is not cooked in yet, if they bring that program forward and say, we're going to start in June.
Yeah. Now, you know,
that's
what?
The kind of thing that could really juice the equities a bit.
You know, I'm gonna keep an eye out for that. And I think for our listeners out there, that is healthy, healthy advice. Alan, always a pleasure, my friend. You know what? Having you on here is
great,
very insightful.
Great being here, Jack.
And
as
you
always.
Know what? As we heard Bill Gross tell us earlier, you know what? A good investor is more lucky than he is anything good. I like the fact that he said that. I got to tell you.
Just as long as you're with the trend.
Well, we've always said I'd rather be lucky than good. And you know what? He actually said that. All right? I like it.
Just don't fight the trend along the way. If you're with the trend, you're liable to benefit from the surprises.
Absolutely. Okay, for Alan Rohrbeck, I am Jack Berugin. Again, keep your eye out on jobless claims tomorrow and, of course, all of these central banks. This is the Jack B Show. We'll be talking to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.